You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay three nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence. Helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath upgrade is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Savings of up to 40% will make it easier on your budget. And find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we got a good one, right? This is the time of year when all of us have been trying to figure out the logistics for the upcoming hunting season. What I mean by that is whether or not you have the right gear, whether or not you're the information that you have is portrayed to your family, where you're going to be, where you're going to hunt, what reception is going to look like, out-of-state hunting trips, and the logistics that come with all of those things. So logistics has a dual meaning, multiple meanings in this episode, and I'm going to be talking today with Jacob Coons of the Hunt Detail podcast. Now, he has recently released a series. Basically, it's an elk hunting. It's all about elk hunting and the logistics that go behind elk hunting, a little bit of strategy and things like that. But the principle of all this information are things that can be taken to you on just about any hunt, whether it's local or whether it's a 1,000-mile drive, whatever the case may be. So great episode today. Make sure that you listen intently. The dude has a book out as well. I would suggest getting the book as well and also listening to the Hunt Detail podcast right here on the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. Right? That was my bet. That was a cheesy voice, but I meant it. Man, I will say this. I'm stressed. I don't even know if I've ever felt this level of stress that I can remember. I knew there was a period of time when my parents were going through a divorce where as a kid, I was stressed. But what I'm going through right now, where I feel like I'm wearing a lead blanket over my entire body, and it feels like I'm being weighed to the ground with responsibility and having to work as much as I am doing and trying to help baseball teams and making it to certain events and things like that. We haven't stopped. Like I cannot believe it is already July. Absolutely blows my mind. And I don't know about you guys, but I mentioned this on this podcast. I think it was this podcast. I mentioned it on this podcast where I need a day. I need 24 hours where I don't do anything. I mean anything. I want to drive somewhere and I want to sit in a park and not do anything and just maybe have my kids with me. And although that's its own form of stress, I just want to be with my family for a day doing nothing, like having no agenda. And I'm hoping that I can get one of those days here pretty soon. Maybe I need to go put some trail cameras up. Maybe I need to go adjust some tree stands or something like that. Something that will take my mind off of all the stress that is in my life. And I'm looking forward to that whenever that day comes. Until then, I got to keep my shit together. So today's a great episode, man. And I know in the past, I have always said good vibes in, good vibes out. I don't ask for much. If you guys could send me some good vibes right now, I'll take whatever type of vibes that I can get. Any good vibes that I can get, I would appreciate that, man. So good vibes out to you. Good vibes in. I just got to do a very quick version of this right now. If you're looking for saddle hunting accessories, you got to check out Tethered. They are, they're like industry standard for saddles, right? Wasp Archery, mechanical fixed blade broadheads. Most of their heads are made in America. Very confident in those heads. WaspArchery.com, discount code NFC20. Vortex Optics, the cream of the crop when it comes to optics. The cream of the crop when it comes to customer service. The people, right? The products. It's just the recipe for success. Vortex has mastered that. So VortexOptics.com. Take a look at all their optics options. Feed Hub. All I want to say about this, if you use feeders, specifically spin cast feeders, do me a favor, go to MoultrieMobile.com, check out the Feed Hub and all the benefits that gives. Code Blue Sense, Rope-A-Dope, it's Rope-A-Dope time. Like, I cannot wait to get my annual package of Rope-A-Dopes. I have a plan with tree stands, trail cameras, and Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kits. And I got some big things coming down the pipe for how I'm going to incorporate all of those into my main farm. So codebluesense.com, discount code NFC20. Huntworth, I mean, you want it, they got it. I mean, you want to set up a layering system, they got it. So do me a favor, go to huntworthgear.com, check out all of the products that they have available and find what fits you. And then last but not least, next week is reveal week. So Tacticam's reveal. They are releasing new cameras. They have recently released the Reveal 3.0, a couple versions of it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I got a hunting gear podcast that is going to make you question your current cellular trail cameras. So go to tacticam.com/cameras, read up on the Reveal, the new Reveal cameras. Outside of that, man, do me a favor, go buy some Full Sneak t-shirts, man. Go buy some Full Sneak hats. I got plenty of hoodies yet right now. I know it's not hoodie weather right now, but it will be here pretty soon. So fullsneakgear.com, go check it out. And that's it. I'm tired. I want you guys to enjoy this podcast. Thank you very much. I enjoy listening to all of you guys, hearing from all of you guys. Thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you next time. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are joined by Jacob Coons of the Hunt Detail podcast right here on the Sportsman's Empire podcast network. Mr. Jacob, how are we doing today?
Dan, I'm doing great. It's July, my friend. We're almost there. I mean, it's time to, deer, are growing antlers and getting velvet. And, I always have cameras out, but I was out recently, put some more trail cams out, and it's freaking here, man. It's pregame. Yeah. Are you psyched?
No. I'm just being real with you right now. Like, my mind is not even close to hunting right now. We got baseball teams. I'm getting ready to add five new podcasts to the network. And so I have blinders on at work right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm And then along with like full sneak and trying to be a good husband and trying to be a good dad, like I'll be completely honest, man, I am not prepared at all. I've been up since 5 o'clock this morning working, and I got, like right now, I have 3 hours of podcasts to record between this one, 2 more hours after this, then I have to launch today's episodes for tomorrow, then I have to do the uploads for the new video or the new podcasts that are joining, then I have to do the, like the admin work of putting together quotes for advertisers. And so I don't know about you or how you keep schedule, but I have this little book called Box Time Scheduling.
Okay.
Where you, every hour or 30 minutes of the day is spoken for, and it's the whole day is just shit.
So what you're telling me is that working in the hunting industry as you do, isn't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a grind.
Well, there's a difference between working in the hunting industry and someone who hunts for a living.
Sure. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Those are two completely different things.
That's like, a good point. That's a good point.
Even the guy, like the big time guys, right? Like yeah. The Drurys, the Pat Reeves of the world, the Lakoskis of the world, like they're behind the camera. I also know that those guys do have a ton of meetings. They have a ton of other obligations outside of just sitting in a tree stand.
Yeah.
So, it's a little stressful. And so that's why, like, I made that announcement. Like, I'm looking for an assistant, basically. I'm looking for some kid who doesn't want to go to college or someone who's had enough of college and basically just wants to be a hunting bum and not really contribute to society a whole lot. I will take that person under my wings and I'll teach them business and I will teach them how to run a video camera, how to edit, how to take pictures, things like that. And then potentially they could work for me. So that's the kind of person I'm looking for. Or like I joked about earlier, like someone who has a really rich, comes from a lot of money and doesn't like, can use this as, hey, I have a job type of deal. And then, you know, do that kind of thing. So that's where I'm at right now.
Well, so I'm in a different stage of life. I turned 50 this year.
Okay.
FYI, which sucks because to say that number, but my kids are going into college and late high school. And so to your point, the things that you're talking about with your family and that sort of thing is like, I'm not as necessary as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm getting more bandwidth. I still have a lot of stuff going on, like most dads and most family men, but I am in a different stage because I just, you know, I remember that, you know, coaching Little League and all of that stuff. And those days are sort of unfortunately behind me in some ways, but I hear you. I get it. You know, we're not quite there, but for me, it's just, I think about, you know, I'm getting, you know, I got out in the woods the other day and it just felt really freaking good. So,
yeah, dude, I'm not joking. I am full. Like, have you ever kind of reached a moment where in your life where you have been so stressed out and so stressed and just life has kind of caught up to you and you feel like you're kind of boxed in? Like, I don't know how other to say it is, I need a day by myself in the woods, setting up some trail cameras, working on some tree stands where my brain can just be away from all of my responsibilities and to get out and do something like that I enjoy, really. Because, you know, everybody's like, oh, dude, you have the best life. If you have, you know, like, oh, you have a podcast network and you do all this shit. And sorry to hog the mic here. But this is an opportunity for me to vent. Is if you want to do it and do it right, you're not going to be hunting a lot. You're going to be doing other stuff. Even the guys on YouTube who are like the big time YouTubers, those guys have so many obligations outside of what you see. There's so many layers to it. And so
I try to build in something every day.
Mm-hmm.
For hunting, maybe it's shoot 5 arrows, maybe it's look at Onyx and scout e-scout for 5 minutes or whatever. But I totally get it because it's like my days and my months and my years are, there's like these landmark things that have to take place, like vacations, and I had a graduation party, and like all these different things. And so I hear you, man. But like for me, it's just like I got to build in something in there to, maybe at night I'm watching a hunting video or something before I go to bed or whatever. But it's a grind for sure.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Okay. You wrote a book a while back. Okay, what was this book about?
Yeah, so a couple years ago, I wrote The Western Elk Hunt Planner. It's designed for those of us that live in the East that are hunting in the West for elk. And Dan, I am not a I don't know, a Corey Jacobson or some other big time elk hunter. I will never be that. But I am very focused on details and nuance and logistics. And so that book was designed to help men and women who want to do this elk hunting thing, help them create a tight plan around their trek west. Because, I mean, you've done it when anytime you go out of state for anything, it doesn't matter if it's elk or not, your time is like so limited. And it's like, okay, I want to hunt here, and if I want to go around to the other side of the unit, that's a 3-hour drive. And if something happens with my bow, there's no bow shop for another 100 miles. And if something happens to my car, and everything really has to be, in my opinion, planned out really well, because even if you have 10 days, that 10 days just goes so fast. So that was really the intent behind the book.
Okay. And I'll tell you this, I can remember the first couple of years I went on an out-of-state hunt, and it was eye-opening from a planning standpoint. I was lucky enough that I overpacked for my first ever elk hunt, and I carried too much stuff, but it was good to know that because I had everything that I needed. And eventually, those types of like you're able to wean down what you want and like what you need versus don't need, or like some little comforts that, yes, you don't need them, but it helps you be more comfortable out there. And it took me, I want to say, like 5 or 6 trips out there to get my list of, and I'm talking about gear specifically, on point where I needed it to be. Okay. And so when we start to talk about this and you say to yourself, okay, I'm doing an elk hunt or an out-of-state hunt this upcoming season, where does this all start?
So there's really three components that I believe to this sort of thing. Maybe 3.5, but the first one is your hunt objective. And where this is really important is if you have other people going. So the way that I described it is that you and if you're in the business world, we've all heard of a SMART objective. A SMART objective is specific, it's measurable, it's attainable, it's realistic, and it's time bound. And so, Dan, if you and I were going to go on a hunt together, and your objective was to go 10 miles deep, and my objective is to hunt near a truck.
This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack Fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
And part, it's all based on. And we could fill out the what those what the specific measurable attainable time round, all that stuff. We could fill that out. But for the purposes of this podcast, like if your objective is this and mine is that, you and I are not, it's not going to go well. It's not going to, it's going to be a frustrating experience. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, on the recent podcast series and on this, in this book and all that stuff, anytime I talk about this stuff, when you go out of state, it's really, I think, critical to really understand what is your objective? Like, is it just any elk, a cow? Is it a herd bull only? Is it a satellite bull? Is it 5 miles from the truck? Is it hunting near the truck? Are we just cooking steaks and drinking beer every night? What's the plan? Because I went on a hunt a couple years ago with some really important people in my life, some really special people, and their objectives and my objective were completely different. And it resulted in a really frustrating experience. And that was one of the things that the impetus behind, you know, writing a book, because if you start there and write down what you really want out of a hunt, what you want, not your buddies, not your brother, whatever, but what you want, that's the place to start, because everything sort of feeds from that and connects to it.
Yeah. I've been there too, man. And God bless the guy. God bless the guy that I went with, because ultimately I realized that I was probably the problem on that trip, right? I was the one who had the vehicle. Okay. I was the one who was like, hey, let's go move over here. Or let's do this. And he, like, I think he felt, because I was driving, that he potentially had to listen to me. And so it took one long drive and one really bad hunt for us to butt heads. And then we talked it out and then everything was fine. Right. But yeah. I feel like I was the cause of that, because we left deer to go find deer, basically. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it makes a lot of sense now. Right. Anyway. And so the guy's probably listening to this right now, and he knows who he is. And so I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll say it again. I'm sorry. But anyway, when it comes to like that type of interaction, like from your experience, when expectations did not match up with each other, were you guys able to course correct halfway through this hunt or at some point through this hunt to come up with a new set of expectations that were beneficial for everybody?
Well, I mean, what you just described from your own personal experience about how you sort of took responsibility for maybe a little bit of the situation, that wasn't the case with this group of individuals. So no, we really didn't, we never did pivot. It really, and I mean, we're sort of having a therapy session here, Dan, based on what we started with our families. And now we're talking about this, like it is so important, because like I went on a elk hunt last year and I went solo. Mm-hmm. It was the first time. And there's part of it is that it's a test of my own abilities. Like I want to be able to kill an elk, pack an elk out, and do everything by myself.
Yeah.
But part of it was because, Dan, you don't want to hunt with me. I'll be honest with you. You know, like, no, I don't, I am not the type of person that you want to hunt with, because my objective is solely on punching that tag. Mm-hmm. And I can be a real difficult person to be around. And so I'm doing people a favor mm-hmm. by doing it solo and not pulling others into it. And so, you know, with that particular hunt that happened a number of years ago, we never did reach alignment. I mean, everybody had different objectives. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's the way things go. I think sometimes folks can fall into a role of being everybody else's guide.
Right.
Or taking up, and if those of you all that are listening that are planning a hunt, if you're not asking yourself some questions about, you know, is this other, these other guys that are going with you, are they doing any of the e-scouting? Are they doing any of the planning? Are they mm-hmm. doing the things to get in shape? You know, are they, you know, are they ultimately committed? Even if they're not, even if they don't have a tag, they're like, they want to go. Yeah. Even if they don't have a tag, are they all in? Would they bleed for you for this hunt? Because mm-hmm. if the answer is no, or if they have different expectations, it might be a good time now to have a conversation so that everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, that is by far the most important thing. And I'm potentially going on my South Dakota mule deer hunt with someone that I've just met over the through the podcast and through Instagram. And I'm to the point now where I'm willing to try anything to get a mule deer.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty like this guy and myself, like the group that he's going with can't go this year. And so he's talking to me about, you know, hey, my group's not going, do you want to come in for this year? And we can try to attack, you know, we can attack this area. A lot of benefit for me because he knows an area, but he's not necessarily bound to it, like, because he knows that I have other spots as well that throughout my time in South Dakota. So as of right now, it's fluid, but the closer we get to this hunt, you know, we're basically here. We're going to have a phone call here within the next, I'm going to guess, couple weeks, and have this phone call about, hey, listen, what are your goals? Okay. What are my goals? All right. Are we going to get a cabin? Are we going to sleep out of our trucks? Are we going to tent it? What's the goal here? Check off some boxes. How much time are we going to dedicate to a place? Check off some boxes. Or like, if we're not looking, if we're like, what kind of caliber of buck are you looking for? Check those boxes, and then start the conversation and build up to selecting a date and a time and getting to that location and starting, basically quit talking and start walking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's like what you're saying is exactly what you got to make sure everybody does, because, yeah, you know, as hunters, I mean, we are selfish MFers, and I mean, we all want to fill our tag, and yep, and there's some genuine guys out there, but I know I'm as selfish as the day is long when it comes to my time in the woods. I mean, we both started this podcast talking about our commitments to our family and as fathers, right, and all that stuff. And so when you do get a chance to break away, you want to be all in. And, mm-hmm, and, yeah, but I mean, you know, the objective is where you start. You know, the other two pillars are the hunt plan and the hunt systems. Mm-hmm. And so when you start there, then the planning and, you know, some of that, you know, the planning is really comes down to a lot of the e-scouting, understanding the road systems, and, you know, in a very meticulous way, because these backcountry roads may not be roads at all, or there may be ways to get into areas that really comes down to, you know, using all of the hunting apps, but also, you know, I talk a lot about apps that are not hunting apps, like All Trails. There's the MTB project, which is like a mountain bike app. There's a lot of apps out there that I encourage folks to check out because it gives you a sense of what the general population is using and where the general population is going. And you can use that intel to understand pressure or pressure gaps, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And to backpack on that, rules and regulations, not just hunting rules and regulations, but easement rules and regulations, because there are certain rules and regulations that hunters can take advantage of, or that are also keeping hunters away from certain things. Like, one thing that I've learned about hunting out west, just because it looks like a road doesn't mean it is a road, and you can get caught trespassing fairly easy out there if you're not paying attention and you don't go. And at the same time, you got to know how, you have to be smart enough to handle conflict, because there are people out there who think they own land that they do not own, or own easements that they do not own. And just because somebody is telling you that it's been this way for, you know, my entire time, you know, I'm a fourth generation rancher. Well, that just because of that doesn't mean that you don't have access to the public or where you can park your truck or things like that.
Thankfully, those things are starting to bubble to the surface, and folks, mm-hmm, those that are out there that do that are now understanding that we have more power than we used to as out of staters.
Exactly. Exactly.
But that's a really good point, because, you know, even like I don't want to deal with ATVers and like getting the motor vehicle use map. Like if you, I mean, you can get that from a lot of, a particular Western state. Like you can find motor vehicle use maps for different public land areas out west and get a sense. Like sometimes roads are closed, and it'll show those dates that those roads are closed, and it'll show those dates that the roads are open, and open to what type of travel too. Like if is it just bikes or does it include motorbikes or what have you? Because that's, I mean, for me personally, when I as I'm building my plan, I don't want to have to deal with ATVers, or I want to sort of try to get away from that stuff.
Hey, this blows my mind. Check this out. So I ran into a trail in western Nebraska. It was a dirt two track. Now, Onyx said it's a road and you can travel on it. And so I didn't know how you could travel on it though. So I called the land management system that this like it was I guess grassland. So I called their headquarters in that area and I said, "Hey, I'm on trail number this. What can I use on this trail?" This is crazy. Trucks and cars only. No ATVs, no
Oh,
side
wow.
by sides, no horses, no dirt bikes, full size vehicles only, which blows my mind that is the regulation for this particular trail. Now, I don't know if side by sides tear it up differently or causes different ruts or whatever, like the same with a dirt bike and things like that. I'm not sure, but it's only full size vehicles and with a strong recommendation of four wheel drive. And so that blew my mind because I had an e-bike out there. My e-bike was not legal on this road, but my truck was. And so I was like, "Are you serious?" And they're like, "Yep, that's the rule on this trail." And I was like, "Okay." So those types of rules and regulations one must be aware of as well when traveling to, a different
That's a
state.
really, I mean, that's an excellent point because you would think it would be the inverse, right? You would think, oh,
Exactly.
my e-bike, not my truck or whatever.
Yeah,
So
especially horses. I was just confused. Like, now there's other places where there's the sign pretty much just says no motorized vehicles beyond this point and horses. So I would think that with a horse, I mean, most of this ground is grazed by cattle,
right.
but they don't want horses in the mix there. A lot of that just doesn't make sense to me. But then again, is what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that you, but to your point, you took the effort to find out for sure so you didn't get in any trouble, that sort of thing.
One more example is in certain states, an e-bike under a certain wattage and under and depending on what class it is, and depending on if it has a throttle or not, or if that's engaged, constitutes as a bicycle. And so that is not, although it has a battery on it and you can pedal to generate additional power, that e-bike is still considered a bicycle under a certain wattage and without it, which makes it legal on non-motorized vehicle parcels of public land. And so I take advantage of that. So I don't necessarily think it's a loophole per se. It's just you have to know the rules and regulations, not only to keep you out of trouble, but to benefit you as well.
You know that e-bike thing. I know. Well, you just described a hunt that I guess out of state that you took it, and a bike would have helped me a lot last year. I was in Wyoming, and I wish I would have had one. But it's like at some point you feel like you have so much freaking gear. I'm like, it almost feels too much. And I'm just like, even now, I'm going to Colorado this year, and I'm like, should I take a bike? I don't know. It feels like it's so much freaking like I'm bringing half the house to go do this. But But I mean, that thing, that could be a real time saver and, lifesaver when it comes to just covering ground quickly or when you have a road like that. I still don't have an e-bike, but I'd probably just bring my pedal bike or whatever. But
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. What other type of logistics do we need to discuss, based off of the information that you've gathered?
well, I mean, I think, so a large chunk of what I talk about are systems, and the systems that I talk about are, I mean, the obvious one is like your water system, your sleep system. But then, some of the less obvious or some of the ones that we don't think about are like your first aid kit. What does it look like? Does it have a splint? Does it have a tourniquet? Does it have like a bleed stop? I mean, we also think of, a kill kit as an obvious system. But there's some other things that are important. And the way that I describe a system is that it's those are the things that are operate or are there to operate on their own without any thought at all. So, Dan, you put something down, you pull the kill kit out because it has everything you need right there. You need water. Your water system is efficient. It's not a pain. It's not wasting time when you're out there and like, oh crap, I got to do this or I forgot about that. It's those are the times. The time now is the time to think of those systems and to test those systems so that when you're out there, it doesn't impact your hunt in a negative way.
And I'll tell you this, man, I got bit by a dog last year or the year before. Shit, I can't remember. 2 years ago. And I pulled out my first aid kit to wrap up, like put the Neosporin on it on the bite, and then wrap up my hand well enough so that I could hunt for the rest of the day. And then pretty much peer pressure got me into the hospital the next morning after the morning hunt. And so I'm glad that I, in a way, kind of got bit. There's a silver lining to getting bit by that dog. And that is that I opened up my first aid kit and it was old. Like bandages must have got humid, like humidity on it. The gauze was still good. I still had some tape into it, but the rest of it was like, I'll use the word expired. So all that, I need a new one is basically what I'm getting at. And so, it allowed me to kind of realize like, man, you got to keep better track of all of the, like your gear and keep it. Like, I wish you could see my garage right now. You would be disappointed in me based off how I'm storing my hunting gear and equipment. And
I'm the same way. I'm my basement storage area. I got crap everywhere, and if when I and I look, I'm looking for something, good luck finding it because it's all over the place. But
Well, I know where everything's at, but it's a giant pile. It's not organized.
yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. What's next?
Well, one of the things that I mean, I think when it comes to like, I'm going to talk about calling elk, like that is like that's a system, like, and maybe not calling, but like what are you going to do in the situation? So, one of like in the recent podcast series, I talked a little bit about this where it's you've got a herd bull, you think that he's got cows, and you think this is all theory when you're in the field, but you've got these satellite bulls around, and you're like, okay, I think that's the herd. He's up there. I think the satellites are over here. And it's, I mean, Dan, I mean, you've been there where it's like, it's you think about these things a little bit, but you're not really thinking about, all right, what am I going to do? How do I play this? Because in the back of your mind, you're like, there's a lot of pressure. You're like, I don't want to freaking blow this. I want this to go the way it's supposed to go. So how do I, oh, I guess I'll just bugle. And, some of the things that and again, I'm not Corey Jacobson or any of these big time elk hunters, but I just try to listen to them and I try to understand what they do in situations when they encounter, you know, maybe like almost like when I watch YouTube hunts, I consider that getting reps. Like I'm trying to get reps in the field digitally and really pay attention to what these experts are doing. And right. So I have seen some folks do what I think is the wrong thing when they bugle back or they chuckle. You know, a chuckle is a sound that, you know, sort of a bull is talking to another bull about fighting. It's like sort of a communication of fight.
Yep.
And so what they do is they actually push away satellite bulls. And so, you know, if it depends, again, going back to that objective, like what is it that you want? And if you're willing to kill a cow or a satellite, then how you respond is going to be really important.
Right.
And so I think like that's a system, because the more you can sort of lock that in to say, okay, yeah, I'm in this situation and I think I want to bugle over top of this bull because I'm within, you know, 75 yards and I'm going to see if he'll try to come in and fight.
Yep.
Or I'm going to cow call because I want to pull in a satellite and just shoot a satellite.
Right.
Like those are some of the decisions that you want to sort of make here and now before when you get out there. Because I mean, last year when I was in Wyoming, like, you know, all my prep was on point. You know, I was in great shape. I did a perfect great e-scouting. I had gone to three different spots and came across three different herds of elk. And I was just really pleased with that experience, even though I didn't fill my tag. But I was in so many different scenarios, and even in those scenarios, even though I think about all this stuff a lot, I still screwed up. I still made mistakes. I still was like, why the, and even now as I reflect on it, I'm like, why the frick did I do that? Like, why didn't I do this? And I think it's important because, you know, when you're out there, it's almost like you lose IQ points because you're like, oh, I don't know. I guess I'll, you know, I guess I'll do this. Yeah. And then you end up blowing it up and you're like, what the hell was I thinking? So, you know, I think that that's an important part of it. Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to play your cards in that moment?
Yeah. That's a great point. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
That's a great point. Like if your objective is any animal, then why are you making a call that challenges, like that is telling any animal to stay away? Basically, yeah. Or, you know, if I, you know, this happens a lot because I like to rattle, when the time is right, when it's peak rut, maybe the deer, like all deer will come in, but there are times when you rattle and small deer, maybe they've already got their ass beat. And they're like, okay, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And they don't come in, or they don't respond well to aggressive calling tactics. So that's a great point that like, I don't think a lot of people grasp and or value, if that makes sense.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
No, I think that like the way I killed the elk behind me is I got in close to, they were bedding midday.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, here's a strategy is a herd bull will, when they bed down, he will check his cows to see where they're at and see if there's any of them that are hot.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll bed down and he'll come around and check his herd. And I was in close to the herd. I could see a couple of satellites. I could see cows. They thankfully didn't pick me off. And I just thought, you know what? I am not going to call. I'm going to wait, because I was in close enough and I thought surely something, I was going to shoot a cow or whatever. I was at that point. Like, I wasn't interested in the herd bull. If I was interested in the herd bull, you know, one of the tactics that Joel Turner does, and I would encourage the listeners to look him up because he's an expert, a calling expert. I'm not, but he does this roundup bugle where he's talking to the cows. And it's almost like, Dan, you're in a bar with a woman and I come in and I don't talk to you. I talk to her and I'm like, hey, why don't you come with me? And mm-hmm. all of a sudden it really pisses you off. And so, mm-hmm. So there's different tactics out there. And so that's one that Joel Turner says, like, hey, call to the ladies and then you'll really tick off the herd bull. But in this situation, I wasn't going to do anything because I just wanted to shoot anything. Yep. And then this bull showed up. And what happened to be on the same trail that I was and got an arrow in the chest and it worked out great. But, and so I never called. And so again, I think it's really important to think about how you're going to react in that situation because, we've only got 10 freaking days. It's not like last year I was bow hunting, whitetail nearby and I had a bruiser buck come in. He saw something he didn't like. He saw some movement from me or something. And he started to turn and walk away, and I snort wheezed at him. And I thought, this is my chance. I'm only going to get him to come back or lose him. And he didn't want anything to do with that snort wheeze, Dan. Like, he was out of there, like you said. Like, maybe he had fought a bunch, but he was not interested. And so, it was a whitetail. It was on some public land nearby and I blew that chance. But it's like, again, when you're 1500 miles from home, there's a lot of pressure and you want to think about how you can play your cards effectively.
Yeah. Next step.
I think really the last part of it all, Dan, is your home life. Like, it's sort of,
I'm sorry for laughing, but you're like your home life. And I just envision myself out of the house on a hunting trip and total chaos is ensuing, like Royal Rumble type shit is happening.
And that's it. And that's it. Like, and so like, we talk about the objective, the plan and the systems, and those are sort of the three pillars of everything that you're doing. And they're all interconnected because, if you can only hunt a half mile from your truck, then you don't need a water system and you don't need to worry about food systems. And there's a lot of things you don't need to think about.
Right.
But if all of those things are, you're in the field or I'm in the field, but when you're away and Royal Rumble is taking place at your house, you almost have to create systems for the house. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, it's a couple of years ago, our fridge was acting kind of nuts. And I said, screw this crap. We're getting a new fridge. Because I'm not dealing with this. I'm not going to deal with my wife trying to get in touch with me and saying, hey, the fridge died. So we got a new fridge. Mm-hmm. And it's really trying to anticipate all of those issues. Yeah. Car stuff. Mm-hmm. Having stuff in your wife's car to fix a flat tire, to jump the battery, and actually this is one of the things that you have to have in your own vehicle. You have to have a system for your own car, a full size spare. Mm-hmm. Like you get a flat tire on your way out or whatever, you better have a full size spare, because if you don't, you're not going to drive that little donut tire, the rest of the way. Right. So when it comes to, the fourth part is this the home piece of it. I put my Onyx on my wife's computer so that she can see my breadcrumbs. So if I die, they know where to find the body.
Yeah.
Because, I'm just trying to give them peace of mind and understanding that, that there are things in place that can help support them while I'm gone.
Exactly. Great point. Well, I think, you know, this wasn't too terribly detailed, right? But this conversation is necessary to have with yourself, to have with your family when you leave town, or, I mean, even if you're single and you're not married, you know, a conversation that you have with your parents or another friend that, hey man, I'm going in the, like, I'm going to be in the boondocks for X number of days. Here's the area that I'll be in. Maybe have a plan to check in with them, get, you know, set expectations for, hey, sweetie, I'm going to call you tonight, or I'm going to text you tonight, or, hey man, I'm going to be out of service for 3 days. I'm not going to call you in 3 days. I'm going to try to call you at this time, and set those expectations with them, because, like, my wife, she tries to communicate with me almost every morning and every evening. How are you doing? What are you doing? And I respond and let them know. But there's some times where the expectation is at night when I'm making the last phone call, I go, you're not going to hear from me tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'll get a hold of you the next morning or the next afternoon. And so, and just setting those expectations, which I also think are, as far as communication, is very important.
Yeah. I mean, you know, gosh, I'm trying to think of some of the other things, but so you're going to South Dakota this year you're going to kill a mule deer. It's not like we all know it's happening.
I hope so. Dude, I hope you're right. I'll take it.
I'm sending, as you say, good vibes your way.
Good vibes.
I'm sending good vibes out to your way. It's happening.
I appreciate it.
We all can't wait to see the pics. But now you drew Kansas, right?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome. So I'll ask you a question about your prep. And mm-hmm. when you go out of state, like, this is one of the things I think is important, and you can give me some feedback on it. Do you bring a backup bow?
No.
Do you have a bow kit, like a portable bow press?
No, I don't have a portable bow press because I shoot a Bowtech, and unless it is a torn string mm-hmm. or anything, I can make minor adjustments without a bow press.
Without a bow press. Well, that's good.
Yep.
So have you ever considered taking a backup bow?
I have, yes. I have, yes.
Because I just, you know, I think about, like we've talked about, all that we put into this, mm-hmm. you know, something happens to your bow, you cut a string with a broadhead or whatever.
And the reason I haven't before is, I guess, because I'm not necessary, like, I'm within, let's just say I'm an hour or two hike from the truck. That's probably the furthest I get. Now with an e-bike, depending on how and where I hunt, much faster. And then I'm, let's say, another hour and a half from the closest bow shop. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I am under the impression that if something goes wrong with my bow, I will have the ability to take it into a bow shop or a Shields or a Bass Pro shop, get everything that I need to get the bow back in shooting order. And yes, it won't be as fast as going to, you know, as going just back to my truck and getting a new bow. But like, my bows are all different. And I guess the reasoning is because I've put all this time and energy shooting one specific bow that I want to shoot that bow, because I've practiced all summer long with that bow.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's cool. I just, you know, I think, like, my son, he's got a Mission bow, mm-hmm. Mission by Matthews or whatever. And I'm like, I take that because, and it's a little bit different situation. I'm not necessarily going to be near Shields or anything like that, but I'm like, okay, if I have to, if I really need it, I can crank the poundage up. I have a target. I'll bring a target with me, mm-hmm. and I can get this sighted in and not leave the field or leave the area to get this, you know, to resolve. Or I do have a portable bow press if I need to make changes and that sort of thing. And so I think, you know, depending on what state and where you're going, that sort of thing. I think those sort of things are important. And then, like I said, like having a full size spare, having, if you have chains for your tires or some sort of traction device, I also carry like a winch in my vehicle, because if I'm going solo and I, you know, get stuck somehow, I want something. I don't want to rely on anybody else. I want to be able to just like, ah, crap, it's going to cost me 2 hours, but I don't have to sort of hope someone drives by to sort of pull me out. And I think, you know, those are the things that I think just it's paranoia, quite honestly, Dan, that is the word that is in my brain most days.
I probably need that, to be honest with you. I probably need to be more critical about how I think about some of these hunts, because I live by the fuck it type mentality sometimes. And there's times where I'm just like, okay, I got everything I need. It's enough. I don't need to worry about anything else. And I'll make do with what I have instead of really being critical, which is could potentially be a hindrance if something really bad happens.
You know, that dog bite thing, I mean, I think it's a really interesting example. Did you get rabies shots and all that stuff?
Well, no, I didn't get rabies shots. I did have to get a tetanus shot though.
Okay.
And I had the only reason that I didn't get rabies shots is because it was a collared dog. It was with its owner. He said it lives with me. It lives in my house. It was trained. Like, it was a bird dog, right?
Oh, okay.
And so all I did was put my palm out like this to let him to smell me before I pet him.
Yeah.
And he just went, rawr.
And man. So,
and I was like, you know, I was like, what? Like, what? Like, I wanted to take that dog and throw him.
Right.
The landowner, or the owner of the dog in his truck, he was like, oh, do you want a Kleenex? Like, that was going to solve the problem that I had now. And and in my head, I was like, no, I want to shoot your dog. Right?
Your dog and then you.
Yeah.
And so
he just was like, okay, well, I'm going to go pheasant hunt now. And he drove off. And I was like, I didn't want to, like, because the window was a crank window. So
okay.
he had to reach across. But he said, just open the door. So I opened the door and I started talking to him. And then that's when I went to go let the dog smell my hand. And that's when he bit me. And so,
oh, wow.
And he was like, oh, shit. I think he was just like in his head, get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. So
he did the smart thing.
Like, yeah, right.
I'm getting the hell out of here. I think we've all had those situations where I don't want this person to think about what just happened. I'm going to go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there was that. Anyway, we've reached the end of this podcast. We both have hard stops today, but Jacob, man, I really appreciate you coming on and reminding all of us about like the prep, the planning, the logistics that goes into any trip away from your house. And I really appreciate you taking time. If anybody wants to find out more about the stuff that we've talked to, how many episodes are in the series that you have done?
I think it was eight episodes at least.
Eight episodes, yeah.
And I would, yeah, check out the Hunt Detail podcast on the Sportsman's Empire Network. They're usually somewhere between 15 minutes, 25 minutes long. And it's a solo cast of me just trying to drop some value, drop some insight on stuff like this. And so, yeah, please check it out and certainly give it a 5 stars and certainly appreciate everyone's support.
Perfect. Thanks, Jacob. And, dude, good luck this season.
Thank you, Dan. And let's connect and talk more about when you start getting in hunting mode. I want to talk more about hunting.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.